Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 24. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the text. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. The meal at Emmaus is the climax of Luke's gospel, and it's the pivotal hinge connecting his gospel to his account of the Acts of the Apostles. Luke also wrote the book of Acts. And Luke addresses these books, each of them, to a man named Theophilus. And it is Luke's intention to reveal Christ to him through the written word. And he went back to eyewitness sources and put together these accounts, not only of Christ, but then the Acts of the Apostles, where in the beginning of that book he states that Christ's work in the world is ongoing. He continues to be revealed. He continues to act and to teach. The ministry of Christ's church, the church of the apostles, the one holy apostolic church, it is an extension of Christ's earthly ministry. And as you read the entirety of the Gospel of Luke, or the Acts of the Apostles, it becomes more and more clear that our Lord is not only revealed in the written word, but Christ is revealed in the breaking of the bread, in the sacramental life of the church. All of human history, as it pertains to our relationship with God, is framed within the context of meals. Adam and Eve brought about the fall of mankind by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When the Israelites are freed from Egypt, yes, it is through the blood of the Lamb painted on their doors that frees them from the angel of death as he passes over them. But God gives very specific instructions on the meal that they are to have while this is taking place, while the angel of death passes over their homes. When God meets with Moses and the 70 elders of Israel and establishes his covenant with them at Mount Sinai, Moses records, "They saw God, and they ate, and they drank." When Christ establishes his new and better covenant, it is at the celebration of the Passover meal, and he brings a new reality to the unleavened bread and the cups of wine which were passed around the table, and says, "This is my body. This is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." He also brings a new reality to the blood of the Lamb rescuing his people from the angel of death. And Jesus' words that he had spoken earlier to his disciples, as we hear them in John chapter 6, are given some context. And they finally make sense to the disciples. Our Lord said, "I am the bread of life. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Jesus actually doesn't stop there. He goes on and says more of the same. And go read John 6 sometimes. It's amazing. But I think you get the point. He could not be more emphatic about what it is that he offers to us. And of course, as you read in John 6, this message was offensive to many of his followers, and many of his followers stopped following him. And this message of Christ offering his actual flesh and blood under the form of bread and wine is offensive to the world today. But the reality is, this is my body. This is my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. As I said last week, the forgiveness of sins is what Easter is all about. If our sins are forgiven, then death has no power over us. And we will rise in our bodies just like Jesus did. And after the resurrection, we see Jesus appear to his disciples on a number of occasions. And the common thing he does when he meets with them is he eats. He does so even outside of the context of bread and wine, because he proves to them that he is risen in his body. He is no ghost. And you look at how eternity is described by Isaiah in the Old Testament, that on God's holy mountain there will be the choicest of foods and the finest of wines. It is described as the ongoing feast. How many of Jesus' parables about the kingdom of heaven is like a banquet? Again and again. On this first Sunday of Easter, the first day of the new week, there, walking along the road to Emmaus, are these disciples who are unaware that creation has been restored. They are unaware until Christ is made known in the breaking of the bread. We gather here this day, and we see, and we hear, and we taste the ministry of Christ, which is ongoing. He is revealed to us in his word, and he is made known to us in the breaking of the bread. The disciples at Emmaus, they marveled at how their hearts burned within them as Jesus spoke of Moses and the prophets and interpreted what they said about the Messiah, about the Christ. The Word of God is powerful in and of itself. As Scripture says, it is like a refiner's fire. It changes us. It fills us. Peter says in our epistle lesson, that God's word is imperishable, living and abiding. The word of the Lord remains forever, Peter says. And God has revealed himself. And he speaks to us through that living and abiding word. And as is said so eloquently in the letter to the Hebrews, in many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old through the prophets. But as we see throughout Scripture, when he really wants to get his people's attention, or when he really has a fundamental change in store for his people, there is a meal. And Hebrews goes on to say, but now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. And he speaks to us through his word. And we rejoice at the proclamation of the gospel. But it is still true that when God really wants to get our attention, when he really has a fundamental change in store for his people, there is a meal. And we gather for a meal. We do this each time that we gather because a fundamental change has taken place. Christ has established a new covenant in his blood, which was given and shed for you. forgiveness of sins. And we participate in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, in the ongoing feast. And here at the Lord's table, we get a foretaste of that feast to come as we gather with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. And we get a little glimpse of heaven here on earth. And we enter into this sacramental union with Christ our Lord as he tangibly enters our bodies, just as he spiritually is always with us. The joy of Easter and the reality of eternity, it began for us at our baptism, and it continues ongoing. Our crucified and risen Lord comes to us. The Word made flesh, who still makes his dwelling among us, comes to us and is made known to us in the breaking of the bread. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.